part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Waid, writer of Superman Birdland.
You're listening to The Krypton Report.
Look up in the sky!
Welcome to the Krypton Report podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, the Superman of Blue, the man of tomorrow. And with me today, I have two special guests for a very exciting special event, especially for all you Ohioans. That's right. All three of us. It's like, you know me, small town Ohio. You know James, who's not here today. But I have two other guys you're going to love talking to, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves. And I'm going to start with Mr. Valentino. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I'm Valentino Zullo. I am a professor of English at Ursuline College, and I'm a comics fan, which I'll go into, and I'm one of the co-directors of Superman's Cleveland, which is an 85th anniversary Superman event happening, well, starting next month, less than a month away at this point.
Oh, yeah.
In Cleveland.
Yep. And I'm Don Boozer. I am the coordinator of the Ohio Center for the Book at Cleveland Public Library, and I am also the co-director, although I will admit that Valentino has been taking the lead on some of this stuff, but I am happy to be a part of this and to have the Ohio Center for the Book be a part of it as well. And I will say that I like to refer to Valentino as Dr. Zullo simply because it sounds like some sort of comic book villain. So,
Dr. Zullo. That's what I'm going to put him as. I'm going to edit it and be like, and Dr. Zullo. That's awesome. Well, thank you guys.
Sorry, Valentino. I couldn't help myself. Sorry.
No, I love it a lot. You're not the only one. I love that people think my name sounds like a super villain name. I think that is very exciting. That's why I spent 13 years in school, so that I could get a super villain name properly.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I had that higher education, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, just don't ever it just makes me think about that scene in Unbreakable. I should have known when they called me Mr. Glass. I should have known when they called me Mr. Glass. But welcome, yeah. Guys. I'm excited because Ohio, I feel like a little background about me. Like I just this past year I finished film school and stuff like that. It's a whole other story. But like, so I talk about movies very passionately. Shut up, Siri. I watched some flirts. I always said if I were to film a Superman movie, mm-hmm. I would go to Cleveland, get some exterior shots at the Cleveland Public Library and some downtown, and just really pay homage, even if I was filming something that was to be in Smallville, because where I live, there's a high school that their middle school is an old middle school, and it was the perfect idea. Like I would shoot for Smallville High. It's surrounded by cornfields. Yeah. Their colors, they're the crows. They're black and red, and everything. So like, I just feel like Ohio has this great presence of Superman that doesn't ever really get honored. And we all should know, if you don't, listeners, that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster came from Cleveland. That's where they live. This past year, I've talked about, I finally made the trek to see the Shuster house, or the Siegel house, and the Shuster area. And I have a picture of me and my kids standing in front of it and everything. And back in 2018, we did the From Cleveland to Krypton. Came up there for that, and that was exciting. And I've always felt that Ohio needs to embrace more that this history, this legacy character that, you know, transcends time, generations, and is one of the most popular characters on the planet, that it was birthed here. So I'm excited.
And that's one of the things that always surprises me about Cleveland too. I mean, we're one of the few places we have what we're calling a semi-permanent Superman exhibit on display here at the library, here at Cleveland Public Library in downtown Cleveland. And it's one of the few places in the city that really celebrates it. I mean, there's a small exhibit at the airport where there's our exhibit here. There's the house. But really, other than that, it really surprises me that it's not more capitalized on it. I always come back to the fact that Metropolis, Illinois, the only thing they have is the name of the city, and they've just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we actually have the bona fide connection, it's like, come on. It's like, we got to do something with this.
I've often wondered why the city hasn't purchased Jerry's house and made it into a museum. Like, I know the neighborhood's not in the best and everything, but I just feel like that would be amazing to have the house and actually make it into a museum.
I'm sure there's politics involved. Not that that's ever a consideration, you know, but
I agree. I just, like you said, Mitch, I've been to Metropolis, Illinois. It's wonderful. Love the Superman Museum. Plan on going back because they've updated it and expanded it and everything. And my kids are old enough now that I can take them and they can really enjoy it.
I think you're right. I mean, I always wonder why they haven't bought the Superman house or why a private organization hasn't done it. I mean, we have the Christmas Story house, which mm-hmm. arguably is a much smaller contribution to popular culture. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. These are fighting words.
No,
maybe,
I mean,
but
Christmas Story is big, but Christmas Story doesn't transcend generations, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I've always wondered about that. Yeah.
Like I said, we went to it and I was like, it was awesome. But I'm like, man, how cool would this be if you could walk through it and really, you know, have some of the historical artifacts and things that, you know, I'm sitting here, you guys can't see. I'm in my office, which is my Superman room. Like, it's all my collection that I've had since a kid, things I bought over time. I'll take a couple pictures and email them to you just so you have an idea. So nice. I'm surrounded by the legacy of this character when I'm sitting here. I even have a Superman tattoo. And I have Kryptonian writing. I have my wife's name and like this little like love message to her in Kryptonian on my arm. So it, you know,
that's awesome.
It's something that means something to me. And it's one of those things, like, I'm from Ohio and Superman's from Ohio. But I always get frustrated. Like, I wish they had just made Smallville, Ohio instead of Kansas. That's another debate for another day. So, but
I will just real quickly say that that's one of the reasons at the Ohio Center for the Book that we've taken as one of our charges to promote comics as a medium of expression, because we have such a rich history in comics in the state that it's Superman, but it goes so much beyond Superman as well. And the fact that we're able to capitalize on that connection to Superman, I think, is just the coolest thing.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio Week, it's the birth of the superhero. Justin Green, who's from Ohio, you know, originated the autobiographical comic with Binky Brown Meets the Holy Virgin Mary. I mean, there, you can't go anywhere without like seeing a graphic memoir now, right? Whether mm-hmm. it's Fun Home on Broadway, another with Alison Bechdel, who's another Ohio author, or wherever you go. I mean, between the origin of the superhero and the origin of the graphic memoir being connected to Ohio, I think we've solidified ourselves as the state that should claim comics, I think.
And even going back to those early days of the newspaper editorial cartoons and things like that.
And, absolutely. Tony Isabel?
Isabella. Yeah.
He's from Ohio. He's in Ohio. He still lives there.
Yeah. We've actually worked with him on some workshops and things like that. He's a great guy.
He's part of the programs as well. He's giving a workshop October 28th.
Yeah. I already made my own little, like, I'm going to try to come up a couple of times. Is my goal. I'm going to try to bring my son up with me too. He's interested. And we'll get into all that guests, because you have a stellar set of guests, and there's a couple that I want to come to that are during the week that I'm like, I don't know if I can pull off, just because it's like 2.5 hours drive, which isn't bad, but just during the week it can be.
Yeah.
Right. But that makes for a long night.
Not as young as I used to be. especially when you got kids, because then you're like, I'm not sleeping. But let's get into it. First of all, we'll talk about the event and what's going on and some of the guests and who you're most excited to see. But let's start with Valentino. Where does your fandom start for Superman? Like, where does your love for comics, or, you know, how that all got together? Where does that start?
Yeah, so I'll start with my love for comics, because that definitely comes first. So when I was a kid, I used to play Sonic the Hedgehog video games, as many of us did, that, you know, in the 90s. And so it was Sonic or Mario back then, right? That's what you played. And
pretty
so,
much, yeah.
Yeah, and so... I played the Sonic the Hedgehog games, and at one point, one of my friends showed me that there was a Sonic the Hedgehog comic, and I was just thrilled about this. And so I went, my mom and I were at Revco, which now is CVS. We were at, so this is a while back.
I remember, like, you said that, and I was like, that sounds familiar. Wait, what is
that? Yeah, Revco. We're going back now. Yeah, I'm dating myself now, but we were at Revco, and there was a Sonic the Hedgehog comic. It was issue 40. That was not the first one I saw, but that was the first one I bought. And so I bought that comic, and then I started going to comic shops. And around that time, now I don't have a timeline. Perhaps I could reconstruct it if I looked up the issue dates. But around that time, Superman turned blue. And so I was thrilled about Superman being blue, and the cover had some type of like raised portion of it that you could like touch. And so my first Superman issue was when he was blue in the 90s. There must be some connection to Sonic. I just want the blue, I guess. And so that's where my story begins. And then since then, I'll shorten up the story because it could go on and on. But since then, I've just always been interested in comics. I went to school and decided I would study comics, and that would be my field, my area, and it is my area of study. It's what I worked on for my PhD, and that's what I'm known for as an academic, is studying comics. But it all started with the Sonic the Hedgehog comic book and Superman Blue.
That's awesome. That's a great,
yeah.
I mean, it's a great like secret origin story.
Yeah,
the origin of Dr. Zulu.
You know. Yeah. I mean, I don't usually share the Superman Blue part, but I was like, well, I'll share it for this. Usually, I like leave that out because people don't know. They're getting into that is like too much. But this podcast, I was like, you all know what Superman Blue is.
I mean, that's our stick. Like pitches. Yeah. I'm Superman Blue. My co-host James is Superman Red. We always when we hang out, like blue and red. And you know, for most people, there are more than one version of Superman Red and Blue. Everyone always thinks of the electric, but there were two others, one in the past and one recently. But,
yeah,
you know, but what's funny is I had Superman comics growing up at off and on. Like, I just remember I had a birthday that I just had a bunch of comics given to me. They were Batman and Superman all mixed in. But one of the first ones I got was with an action figure, and it was I'm horrible at remembering numbers. That's my weakness. That's my kryptonite. It was an action comic, a Superman action comics. And it was shortly after he had turned blue, because basically the whole issue is kind of a summary since the John Byrne Man of Steel till that point of just like his history and everything that had happened to him. So it was like this perfect comic for a kid who like, why is Superman like this? What's going on, to just kind of like read and be like, oh, so this is what's happened to him. And that was the first one I remember that I kind of bought. You know, it wasn't given to me. Like, I just remember picking it out with the act, because it came with the action figure. But Don, what's your secret origin?
Well, I mean, my childhood goes back a little bit farther than Valentino's, but I remember being in like seventh and eighth grade and discovering, I don't know whether they're fighting words or not, but I was more of a Marvel than a DC reader back in the day. So definitely the X-Men and Thor and all of those. And so that sort of just followed me throughout my entire life as far as the interest in comics. Whenever some of the movies, the earlier movies came out and stuff, and Iron Man was also another one of my favorites. So whenever the original Iron Man movie came out, I had been waiting years for that. So I thought that they nailed the character and the whole Tony Stark thing. And so I thought that was really well done. So I was happy about that. But I will say that for me then, going back that way, is that Christopher Reeve has always been the quintessential Superman for me. All the new ones, you know, Harry Caviezel and Cavill is a good Superman. But in my mind, it always goes back to Christopher Reeve and those original Superman movies.
Cool. I mean, you know, I tell the story, and I won't do it too much so listeners don't always. But as a kid, I had tape from TV Superman 1 and 2. And the thing is, for the longest time, I didn't know they were separate movies. Because, you know, as a kid, like, I'm just watching it. You know, it's in the background. I'm playing. I'm watching it. And it wasn't until I had that until Superman Returns came out, because then I could easily find the DVDs, you know. Because I never remember being able to find the VHS or anything. I always had that. And I bought them, and I was watching it. And I was like, wait a minute. What? And then I realized, oh, yeah, that's because it was two movies. I just, as a kid, didn't think about it. Like,
yep.
I also had a taped from TV copy of Return of the Jedi for the longest time. And I can still watch Return of the Jedi now and almost tell you when the commercial breaks were, because it was so ingrained in me. So, you know, my next question, I'll go back to Valentino, is who is your favorite Superman? Now, I believe there is no right or wrong answer, because I had a recent guest that we talked about this, and I kind of agree, like, I don't want to say I'm like a fair weather fan. I like them all. They all represent something different to me. And, you know, I always say, like, I always was really tight with Tom Welling because when Smallville came out, I was a year into high school. Mm-hmm. And then when Smallville ended, I had just gotten married. So, you know, in that final season of Smallville's Lois and Clark trying to get married and all that, I had just gotten married. But, you know, now, like, I've really been touched, like, as a father of two with the betrayal of Superman as a father on Superman and Lois and being married in that. And that really hits me where I am in life now. So sometimes it's very hard for me to pick who is my favorite because I feel like the character has appeared at times in my life when it represented phases in my life. So, but for you, Valentina, who is like your favorite?
Oh, that's a really good question. I was thinking about it as you were talking. I will say today because I think it changes over time.
And I respect
but
that.
But today I again I don't know if these are fighting words, but I really like John Kent as Superman.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I partially really liked Tom Taylor's first run on the Superman series. I say first run because I have saved up the Injustice ones and the last one just came out maybe last week. Yeah. I was just going to read it all at once because I knew it was a mini. And so I figured I would just read it all at once. So I don't, that is no slight against the new run. I just have not read it yet.
I understand. I understand that completely.
Yeah. And so, cause I was like, all right, if I know it's a mini, sometimes I'll just wait. Unless it's like an event series, but if it's just a mini, sometimes I'll say like, okay. But I really like that. And honestly, I really fell in love with John Kent in the 2-issue storyline called Golden Age that Philip Kennedy Johnson did.
My man.
That sort of like pushed me over the edge with it. I was like, I just really love what he's doing with Superboy. And I love that Superman and as a father to this up-and-coming Superman. So I guess I was really struck by that dynamic and it sort of has... And then Tom Taylor did an awesome job. So I like John Kent a lot right now.
I love John Kent. And I have a love-hate with John Kent right now. And I actually had the privilege of talking to Dan Jurgens 2 years ago. And I got him to sign my Birth of John Kent issue.
Wow. Yeah.
And, you know, a thing about the little... So John Kent in the comics technically was born during Convergence, which was released in 2015. My son was born in 2015. So there's that parallel of Superman becomes a father in the comics, same time that I'm becoming a dad in real life. Then we jump to Rebirth in 2016 when, you know, they aged up John to being in that short miniseries, like 8 years old, which is what my son is now. And then I love 12-year-old John and I'm still mad at Bendis for aging him up. Okay.
Yeah.
but at the same time, I am liking what Tom Taylor's done with John and making him into the character because much like Steel, John Kent as Superman represents kind of Superman's mission of what he tries to get other people to be inspired to do. And so I've really enjoyed what they've done with John Kent, and I think you'll really like the – I won't spoil anything, but what you're going to read here shortly because I think it hits on all that. And that Golden Age book, we were going to review it for Father's Day. Because it had the great line about talking about, you know, being in your golden age and how you as a father, like, look at, you know, the kind of the three generations of Superman talking to Pa and John talking to Superman. We didn't get to because the scheduling with the person that I was going to record with just didn't work out. So we'll probably save it till next year. That's a great story. It's a great story.
Yeah, I love that story. It's my favorite story that Philip did aside from the Mongol and his mother story. And there, Philip Kennedy Johnson does such a great job with child parent dynamics. Mm-hmm. He did a really good job of it too in his run on Alien.
I want to read that. I just haven't got to yet, but I want to. It's on my ever growing list.
yeah, he's coming. So it's the only reason it made its way up my list. As all comics fans do, we have like an endless list, right? But I moved it up recently, and I just sat there and read his run. And so They're different story arcs, but the first story arc in his Alien run is about a father and a son, and it's really good.
Nice. Now I'm going to ask you guys both one of those hard-hitting Superman fan questions. The one that divides the fandom.
Yes.
I'm going to ask Don first. Don, trunks or no trunks?
I mean, you have to go back to the originals, man, with the trunks, I think. I mean, it's almost required, I think. Boy. I'm gonna go with that. I'm gonna stick with that.
All right, Valentina.
I will say, because I'm looking at our poster and we have made a choice on our poster, that I will say trunks because we put the trunks on the poster.
Well, we didn't. Dan Gorman did.
We did.
All
not,
kudos to Dan Gorman.
We didn't oppose it. So I would say
we are
committed to the trunks.
I think the trunks are the iconic that people think about. I really love the Superman suit and Superman.
It's better to call them trunks than underwear, I suppose. So that's a point in the favor. So
yes, I love what Superman and Lois did in season 3. I thought his suit looked great. As far as trunks goes, I thought what they did with Brandon and Ralph, because I think in comics it works. It's in live action where we start to kind of like really see like does it work or not work. But, they did the Kingdom Come style suit. I think they were able to pull him off. And then, you have recent John Kent as Superman, and the way they design his suit works. So I always kind of go with, in comics, I don't care. Live action, I think you can make it work without it because it can be kind of hokey and tacky.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But I always like to ask some people, that's the hill they're going to die on. And I think it's funny because I got in an argument with someone online talking about with the new Superman Legacy film, like, do we want just a classic looking symbol or like their own like little take on it, for branding and all that, like they usually do. And this guy was like, they got to go back to the original, man, to the classic. And he put like the John Byrne style, and I'm like, oh, classic. And I put Action Comics number one up. I'm like, the original. And I was like,
yep.
So everyone has that, what they think the ideal is.
I think that's one of the amazing things that Superman has been around for so long that whenever you say original or go back to the first one, which first and which origin are you talking about? That's the thing that I think is amazing about it, Superman as a character.
Exactly. There was a guy who posted on Twitter, like, who was the first live action Superman? The first appearance, and I put Ray Middleton. He was like, dang, I thought I was going to stump people with this. I'm like, well, some people know, some people don't. It's just the fun of
being... We have Kirk Allen in our exhibit. We have a poster and a signed book and a signed comic book and things like that. So we at least go back to Kirk Allen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's where everyone, well, not everyone, I should say. Most people think of George, when they're transcending, but it's like, no, there's Kirk. And then I joke with the Ray Middleton because he was the World's Fair and everything. But let's talk about your exhibit. Let's talk about what this is with Superman coming to Cleveland. It's a 2-month event starting September. That's why we're recording now, is I wanted to get this out and promote it. I got a fellow podcasting buddy who lives in Pennsylvania. He's going to try to come in, trying to coordinate when so I can meet him up there. Talk about, I'd like to hear where this came from, how it got started, and then of course who's coming, because that's what I'm excited about, because there's two amazing guests for sure that I'm like really keen on. And
I can guess who they are, but I'll wait. I want to see if I can guess. I can probably guess who you're excited about, but
I will say the one I met him once a long time ago, and then I did last year, we did a video podcast with him, but I'd love to, it's meet him again because he's amazing. But either one of you that wants to start kind of how the origin of this came to be, and then, a little history of it and what people can expect. So
go ahead, Valentino. I think the germ of this idea, I think, started with you. So why don't you go ahead and share where it came from?
Yeah. So where do I start? I think it goes back to the question that we had earlier about, Cleveland recognizing what it has. And I think that I often say that Superman is Cleveland's greatest export, especially today. We're not exporting steel in the numbers that we were, right? So I think Superman is our greatest export. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame told me, they said I can say Superman and rock and roll.
Nice.
We had a bit of, no, it was fun. It was a fun little, but they were like, you should say Superman and rock and roll. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. If we're
fair enough, you know,
fair enough. Yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is great. I haven't been in years. Well, actually a decade at least, but it's nice.
Yeah, yeah, it is nice. And they're one of our, yeah, they're one of our hosts. They're hosting one of our events, as we'll get into. So it started there with just like a recognition from years of thinking like, okay, we need to give credit to Superman, to the history of Cleveland, you know, having created this character, having contributed to comics history, defining it really in many ways. And so I wanted to just give credit, and it was, I thought, you know, I've been working with the library for 10 years, and we had done a Wonder Woman program in 2016, and that was sort of smaller, it was a 3-day event, but that was successful, it went well. And so I said to Don, like, do you want to see if we can celebrate Superman? Admittedly, the original intention, the original plan was like 8 events, and now it's something like 25.
That's because I finally had to stop you. So that's,
yes. I kept like coming up with new events and new venues, and
I talked to this person; they're really excited to be a part of it, and I'm like, okay, let's go. One more.
Adding one more, but yeah, at one point we had to stop. But yeah, the idea was just to celebrate Superman, and it was the 85th anniversary. And we
didn't want to wait until the 90th or the 100th, so we figured this is a good round number to celebrate.
Yeah.
And so that's where it came from. It's just really like going back to that idea of like sort of recognizing Superman's history in Cleveland. That's why we called it Superman's Cleveland. We debated about what to call it, and we just really wanted to highlight those two pieces of it. That this is as much about Superman as it is about Cleveland.
And our subtitle that we've tried to sort of include in some of our stuff too is Lineage and Legacy, because yeah. I think he has such a long lineage in Ohio and in Cleveland, and his legacy is just, you know, all encompassing with comics and pop culture and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And I have to say, going on record, we said legacy in our grant proposal way before James Gunn did. So that is not intentional. And I was
not intentional.
That was not intentional. I was like really worried when that came out. I was like, please don't hate us. So different title, but legacy appears in both. And I think it's just in the air, but we definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, like the documents at DC may go back further than us, but like in terms of public statement wise, we wrote the grant way before that title came out.
You're like, this is what you get, James Gunn.
Take that.
Yes.
No,
and I will say I was very excited about getting Dan Gorman to do original work for the main piece that we've been using to advertise and everything. I just think it turned out very cool. The Cleveland skyline is spot on. I think he did a great job, and it just sort of encompasses what we're trying to get across.
Yes, it does. And I just gonna let everyone know it will be in the show notes, the link to the program and everything, so everyone can check that out, because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about it. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different ways to engage too, which I think like that's one that was also like sort of in the original proposal. We talked not just the proposal, but like just us talking. We wanted different ways for people to engage so that it didn't feel like, there's nothing that we don't want to feel like, but we just wanted to create an event that would allow us to celebrate Superman in many different ways, from like doing trivia to making comics to hearing authors talk to watching a movie, if that's how you want to engage. We just wanted to create like many different ways that we could reach the largest possible audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we wanted to make sure it was for all ages too. So we have some things that are more geared towards the younger audience, and ones that are, you know, know Superman really well, or the ones that know Superman really well, and those are just being introduced to him. So we tried to really, like you said, just hit as many different communities as we could.
And I appreciate that. I just want to insert that, because you know, that's something I strive for, even with my podcast, is like it's an all accessible age. It's something I think Superman is a character that you should be able to come to and not be worried about content. This morning, we make it a ritual. We didn't get to this Friday. We've had a very busy weekend. But usually Friday mornings when we have breakfast as a family, we watch My Adventures with Superman. Mm-hmm. And because my kids always know Friday, they're excited. That's when it's out. We did that this morning. We watched the newest episode because we just have had a really busy past couple of days. And I'm loving that show, and I'm loving that my kids are generally excited for that show. You know, I'm not like forcing them on it. Like, hey, watch this with daddy, or you guys want to watch it. No, they're genuinely invested and interested in it. And I think that's something that's been missing. So I'm glad that you guys, you know, you have your way of representing, like, we need to have something for the kids.
Yep. Yeah, the zine making workshop, I think, is going to be really cool with our local Zygote Press organization. I think they're doing some original artwork for that as well. So it'll be like a poster on one side and a zine, how to make a zine on the other side. And so it's going to be a really cool program, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's marked down. Like I said, I'm looking at bringing my son with me to events, and we're trying to map it all out. So.
And they will also be at the conference as well. So we have them working as a part of the conference as well. People will be able to silk screen their own poster to take home with them. So
that's exciting. I'm running out of space. I actually have posters on my ceiling, like in my room, because it's a beautiful. Like I used to at our old house, I took over like the basement, and in this house, I have a nice little like room upstairs, but I'm running out of space, so just take over the kids' room, whatever.
There you go.
Yeah. No, that's what you do. Yeah. No, I think that'll be a good day. There'll be screen printing. That is the day that Mark Waid will be at Cleveland Public Library, who is, I am assuming, the person you met years ago that you're excited to see again.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Mark is a fabulous writer. I'm really happy right now. He's back at DC and he's crushing it. Mm-hmm. I first met him, like he was the first person I ever interviewed for the podcast. And it was rocky because I was still learning how everything worked. You know, I'm approaching comics legend. Mm-hmm. My equipment wasn't as great. I've gotten better. You know, this is almost 10 years ago. And he was awesome. And I have he has signed my Kingdom Come and my Birthright, which I'm hoping to get down there to get, the artist, I can never pronounce his name correctly, so I don't even want to try. Because I've heard Mark Waid pronounce it, and it was not how I thought it would be pronounced. I think it was Lineal. But I want to, you know, get him. So I'm very excited to hear Mark speak.
Yeah, no, we're very excited about that. That was a, I think all of them were achievements, like all, I think every one of them. But that was, how do I put this? We have connections with Laura Siegel Larson. We have connections with Cena Grace. We've worked with him before. We had no connections with Mark Waid or Philip Kennedy Johnson. And so I didn't know how those would go. Like with Cena and Laura, like I was like, you know, we've worked with them before. We're friendly with them. Like I know they'll want to come. And I just didn't know. Maybe I figured like, you know, maybe these people are too busy, which is fine, you know. But when Mark said yes and when Philip said yes, I was like, wow, this is great. This is gonna be a huge party now. Because those are two people that like we have not worked with before. And we have always wanted to. Like I said, we've worked with Laura, we've worked with Cena, but these are two people we haven't, and we were like, okay, like who do we want to add to like our roster of people we've worked with and that we think would be like a really good addition to the programming.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I've read books, like I have the 100 like Superman fan things to do before you die. It's got an intro by Mark Waid and, you know, he is such a, listen to his story of how much Superman impacted him. And there was a joke that he made recently, how many people know Superman's social security number, you know, and stuff. So having Mark Waid as someone is just, it brings more prominence to your event.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have been impressed by is his just generosity and his willingness to do the other events that on Friday before the conference that we've asked him to do. And so he just seems like an all around great guy.
Mm-hmm. I will say, just from the limited experience that I've had with him, it's been awesome. He's been a good guy. So I look forward to coming for that one. I really want to come for the Philip Kimney Johnson as well. Like I said, because I haven't met him. I'd love to get some mm-hmm. things signed and just talk to him at being the current, you know, main title writer and
yeah.
shepherd of this kind of the shepherd mm-hmm. of this era of Superman.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited to meet him. He's also, I can tell you just from email, like he's super nice. Also on the phone too, he's super nice, but just like I've gotten to know him over the past couple months, just on phone and email. And he's like, just such a nice guy.
Yeah, and I'm actually excited to meet Laura in person. I've had some interactions with her online and the emails back and forth and stuff, but I've never actually got to meet her in person. And one of the great things about her is that she donated Jerry Siegel's desk to the library. So that is one of the centerpieces of our exhibit. So you can stand in the same place that the chair that Jerry Siegel sat in as he was doing Superman scripts and things like that, right in the lobby of our second floor of the main library. So I think I always point that out to people and probably ad nauseum sometimes to people that, you know, come here, look at this.
That is one of the pieces that I think would be amazing in my quote unquote Superman museum at the house that I have a picture of from when it was part of that From Cleveland to Krypton.
Yep.
And it's just one of those things, like you just stand in and like, you feel like I don't know, like you feel like the connection to
yeah.
the creation of like, this is where it started, you know?
Yep.
And
yeah, exactly.
How did you get in touch with her? Like for our listeners, tell us a little bit about who that is.
Well, Laura, I know you've had dealings with Laura from the Wonder Woman conference first, yeah. right, Valentino?
Yeah. So I met Laura in 2015. She was visiting Cleveland Public Library in 2015. And she was, in Cleveland, she was doing some work at the library, wanted to sort of scout out the library and see it. I think, I don't remember, it's been a while, I don't remember what, but I think she was there meeting with some people at the library, and I happened to be there the same day, I can't remember why. Maybe I was invited, I don't remember. I just remember being there, introducing myself to her, and I said, I'd love to bring you back sometime. We're doing some Wonder Woman programming in 2016. And I know you're not a, you know, legacy figure for Wonder Woman, but you're Jerry Siegel's daughter, and I think Lois Lane has as much, you know, has a great connection to Wonder Woman, and so let's bring you, especially since we're hosting the event in Cleveland. It's a good connection. So she's come a few times. So we invited her in 2016. We invited her again, I think, I believe it was the end of 2017. She came for her mom's 100th birthday. So we called it like Lois Lane's birthday. Mm. And so we did it. We had a whole party. And Samantha Baskin, who's an art historian, interviewed her at Cleveland Public Library. And so I feel like there's, yeah. No, so then she was also at the Wonder Woman thing. This will be the fourth time that I've worked with her. She's a lovely person. And I don't think I've said it out loud yet, but you asked who sort of her connection. She is Jerry Siegel's daughter. And so she continues to sort of promote Superman. And she is the closest, you know, we're going to get to Jerry Siegel at this point. Yeah. Her stories are really illuminating, I think, and also just very sweet. I mean, she gives us, I appreciate how much information she's willing to give about her father and sort of his influences and his story too, the good and the bad, you know, the ways that they suffered and the ways that they've thrived because of Superman. But I think that she's such a lovely person and I really like working with her. And so I thought, why not?
Yeah. One of my favorite anecdotes about her, I got to be part of the panel that whenever Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster were inducted into the Jewish American Hall of Fame, it was a virtual event during COVID, of course. And she was one of the speakers and I was one of the speakers. I got to talk a little bit about the exhibit and the history of history of them in Cleveland and that sort of thing. But Laura told a story about sitting on her dad's lap and banging on his typewriter at the very desk that we have on display here at the library. So that is one of the things that always sticks into my head, is imagining Laura as a small child sitting on her dad, Jerry Siegel's lap, and like banging on his typewriter at that desk. It's like, it's a very charming image. And I think it just really humanizes the whole thing too.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. It brings, I think, the character back to a humble origin and story of, of its beginning. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't she hosting like a viewing of Superman 2? Is that what was listed on the site, I think?
So, right. So she, on October 28th, she's going to do a live interview with Samantha Baskin will interview her live at the Rock Hall. And after that, she will do a, she will introduce Superman 2. We couldn't get the rights to Superman 1 because they're embargoed right now, just because of the anniversary. Warner Brothers isn't allowing it to be screened unless it's like a special event, like their special event, not just a special event. And so, so it's embargoed at the moment. So we got Superman 2. It'll be at the Cinematheque, and she's going to introduce it. And then, earlier that afternoon, we have an event at the Rock Hall where she will be interviewed live, and Sarah Kuhn, who is the author of Lois Lane Girl Taking Over, which is a DC YA graphic novel, she will be doing, she will be interviewed live as well. So it's sort of a mini Lois Lane day during all of this. So it'll be Sarah and Laura at the Rock Hall.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is one of the more, like, I feel like for Superman fans, that is a big get in a history, because I always am drawn to, it's also meeting like the actors who have played Superman. I've had the privilege of meeting several of them, interviewing a couple, but going to the history of the creation, and that creative energy is part of, her and her legacy. That's to me even bigger, because we don't have the opportunity to meet Jerry and Joe,
And for us, and Donna, I'll let you jump in, Nike, but I think, for us, that's important, that the Cleveland connection, right? Like, I mean, the actors are fantastic. I mean, it would be great to have any of them, or the directors at our events. But for us, like, first and foremost, like we said, is the Cleveland connection. So we wanted to, not everyone's connected to Cleveland, but we didn't want to lose that in some way. So a lot of our guests are Cleveland connected, or, in this case, it's Laura lived in Cleveland as a young kid. And so we wanted to really highlight that part of the history too, and say like, okay, this is, none of the creators that we're bringing are from Cleveland, but Laura is.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I fully agree. We wanted to try and get that Cleveland, Ohio connection with as many aspects as we could. So that's why I'm excited about having Tony Isabella back, who do a workshop for us as well. So,
yeah, Tony, and then
Chad
Bilyeu and Terry Liebenson. There are a lot of local creators that we've involved in the programs. And Terry Liebenson is a middle grade graphic novelist. Her Emmy and Friends series is really popular. It's a New York Times bestselling series. She happens to be in Cleveland. And so we wanted, and she's a lovely person, so we wanted to bring her and just highlight different Clevelanders too, as we highlight these old, as we also bring in these big creators from out of town, that we also want to highlight the big creators that are in town.
And that's how it should be.
Well, that's a thing that seems to, we keep using the terms like these are all lovely people. Everybody's been great to work with too. Everybody's been very excited about it. So that's been kind of fun to see too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. I don't realize how often I say that, but yes, it is the case that.
but it is the case. Yeah,
it is
exactly.
The case that don't think we haven't hit any speed bumps. Like, there hasn't been a point where we were like, there's never been a disappointing moment. Like, I mean, there's never something where somebody was really terrible or something like that, and you're like, oh, why am I doing this? Right, like that can happen. and every step of the way, like, we go to the Rock Hall and they're just like, yeah, we want to do this, and I expected the Rock Hall to say no. Or we go to Cleveland Museum of Art and they said, yeah, no, let's not only do we want to do this, but let's put it as one of our like main events in October. Like, so every step of the way we've just gotten like, it's like we're playing Mario and we keep getting like the mushroom that makes you, or the star that makes you shiny, right? yeah. I feel like that. I was like, this is great. Every time we talk to somebody, like Mark Waite's like, this is fantastic. And like, everybody's like, yes, this is great. So yeah, we are getting the star every time.
Yep.
Now, I do want to ask, are most of the events and things going on, are they free to the public? Is there cost involved?
Everything is free since we're doing it under the auspices of both the House Center for the Book, Cleveland Public Library, and Ursuline College. Everything is going to be free. Correct me if I'm wrong, Valentino, but that's always been my intention and my
idea. Yeah. Everything is free except for the movie. You have to pay for your ticket to get into
right, because that's been done through Cinematheque. Yeah.
Yeah, that's their own thing. And they had to pay for the rights to the film. But all of our events are free. Even like and all of the, again, like I said, like everybody's been so great. Rocco was like, we'll open up the space for free. If you want to go into the museum of Rock Hole, it will cost money, but they said like typically that's a museum where you pay to get in. Mm-hmm. But they said for this event, all free. Everything is free except which is great, which was our goals, to make this accessible.
And which is awesome. But I just wanted to highlight that so that listeners could know. Is there anyone in particular, like any event that you personally are most excited for? If you had to kind of pick that one that's kind of like where you're we'll let Don go first. We'll let Valentino think.
Well, I'm looking forward to the conference just because I think it's going to be interesting to get that blend of popular entertainment, but also the academics. And we have something for kids. We have something for adults. We got Mark Waite talking as the keynote speaker at the end of the day. So I think just getting through that day is going to be an accomplishment, but I'm looking forward to it just because of the variety that we have, I think.
All right, Valentina, your turn.
I think the event I'm most excited about, can I pick two?
Sure. I'm not that much of a stickler. Sure.
Okay. So I'm really excited for the two events that I think are sort of new for. So Don and I have done a lot of programming together, and I said I've worked at the library for 10 years. All of these events are in some iteration of something we've done before, except for, but not on this larger scale. They were things we've done like one off, you know, one year. But the two that are totally new for me, and that's what excites me, is the being at the art museum. We've never done anything at the art museum. So like that excites me. And Sina Grace is going to be the artist in the atrium. I'm really interested in seeing how that will be, what it'll be like to do this event in the art museum, to be part of that. And then the other one is the Rock Hall. We've never done anything with them. So I think for me, it's sort of the new shininess of the things. Like I've done a lot of event planning. These are two new spaces, two new sort of methods of doing things. Cause I think, I think I'm going to be doing the interview with one of my colleagues. I'm going to do the interview with Sarah. And so like, I've never done that before live. Like I've done interviews for the Journal of Graphic Novels and Comics, which is an academic journal that I co-edit, and I'm American editor, so associate editor level, but I've done interviews like that, but I've never done it live. And so I think for me, it's sort of the new exciting shiny things are what I'm excited about. Putting all of this together with Don is exciting, but I think ones.
And I believe you've recruited me to do the introductions at the Rock Hall. So
yes, I have. Yes. And you've done that. You're going to do the intros at the Rock Hall.
I have a lower level of anxiety for my portion. You got to do the live interview.
Got to do the live interview, which I think will be fun. But to me, that's always what excites me. For me, what's always interesting is like doing something new. And Don gets that with me, because I'm always like adding things, but I don't know. Like I want to do the things we know we're good at, like doing the workshops and other partnerships that we've already done before. But I always like seeing like, okay, like let's try something new with the art museum and see how this goes. And so those are the two that excite me, because they're entirely new for us. We've never done anything like it.
Awesome. That's exciting to hear. Like I said, I am planning to come visit. I want to do more than one day. One of the ones that I want to hit, if I can work it, is the Brad. I'm going to try to pronounce the last name. Is it Rika who wrote Superboys?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Rika, I think.
That's, and I apologize if it's incorrect.
That's okay. I'm not sure if I'm right. I talked to Brad, and I've never actually had him correct me, so.
I really enjoyed his book. I loved it so much that I bought it for my friend just on a whim for him to read. And it was reading that book, and I had read other things, you know, before, that I kind of thought, you know, there is a movie that should be made about Jerry and Joe.
Yeah.
And I've been toying, like, one day my wife and I sat and I kind of spitballed certain scene ideas with her and framing of how I would do the film, because I feel like, you know, back we had that story about William Marsden, the film, the suit, like, you know, was it a Professor and the Wonder Women or whatever. And I'm like, that was a cool story and that was a good story, but I feel like there is something true to just American culture and the American dream, and that exists in the story of these two, that I'm like, a story about Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster would be an amazing film. And
yeah, there's a lot of drama in their story with all the court cases and the all that kind of stuff. And so there's definitely some drama there.
I mean, even like, was it, I don't even remember how long ago it was. There was the Robert Kirkman did a short series on AMC that was like the secret files or comics or whatever. And one episode was, of course, on Stan Lee and the Marvel Method. One was on the creation of why am I drawing a blank? You know, Spawn and Wildstorm and all that whole explosion right there with Image Comics. There we go. I was drawing a blank. One was on the Milestone, and then, you know, an episode was on Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster creating Superman, and of course it was a, you know, like a kind of like a short docu, and I watched it and I was like, this needs to be a story to tell, like this needs to be something more prominent. And I think events like this shine more light on the origin and creators of Superman than a lot of people ever realize. You know, I
would agree. Yeah,
I am very excited. I hope to get to meet both of you and shake your hand, get a picture, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll be there. We will be there at I think almost everything. One of us will be there at least.
Yep. I will send you an email, Valentino, and pass it on to Don when I figure out exactly when I'll get to come, because I know I definitely want to come up for Philip Kennedy Johnson and Mark Waid. But I'm trying to time it with my co-host and my friend from Pennsylvania. I might come up one in September, one in October. But I will let you know which day. That way I could try to find a time to get to meet you fine gentlemen.
Sounds great.
Before we sign off here, I'd like for you to promote any social media that you have where people can interact with you or questions, or like I said, I'm going to have the link to the website in the show notes, but anything else that you could point them to look up.
So I will go first. We do have some social media feeds through the Ohio Center for the Book. So you can actually go to ohiocenterforthebook.org, our Twitter or X handle or whatever the heck we're calling it now.
I'm still calling it Twitter. I am still calling it Twitter.
Good. Okay, good.
Because the X thing, I told my wife, like, I showed her, like, this app is not what you think. This is what Twitter is now. Because I showed her, like, on my computer, because my app hadn't updated on my phone yet, but it was on my iPad. I'm like, this is what Twitter is now. So you don't think I got some weird app on my phone. And
fair enough.
And I'm like, I just feel like bad going and looking at it, like, oh, X. Oh yeah.
It just feels wrong. So anyway, so for the time being, we're there. We're CPLOCFB, which is Cleveland Public Library, Ohio Center for the Book. And we also have a Facebook page for the Ohio Center for the Book as well. So
awesome.
Yeah. And I think my Twitter handle is I think it's Valentino Luca, LUCAZ. But you can also, if it's easier, you can also find me at Rust Belt Lab. And that is because I with my co-director at Ursuline College, we co-direct the Rust Belt Humanities Lab. And that's part of like where our funding comes from at Ursuline College, and that's part of our mission, like to also sort of promote the region and think about the region. So I do want it. So you can find us at Rust Belt Lab, which is the easy one. Like it matches on Instagram and Twitter, and I think Threads and Blue Sky and all of those. So we have, and then, yeah, and then you can always find me through there, but yeah, feel free to send a message through there. I will also say, that's the social media. I will also say, because we're supposed to say this, and we sort of said it, but we're supposed to thank the Ohio Humanities Council
for funding
for this event. Ursuline College, which is the college I'm at, which I've mentioned before. Don mentioned Cleveland Public Library and the Ohio Center for the Book. And we have tons of other partners and sponsors.
And the Siegel and Schuster Society has been very generous too. So
the Siegel and Schuster Society has been very generous. Yeah. Carol and John's Comics has been very generous. They are hosting several of our signings and promoting. So there's a lot of, and you can see a lot of our partners and sponsors on the website. But I think, yeah, reach out. We'd love to chat. If you have any questions, we are happy to answer them. But yeah, so feel free. And then come see us in person too. You don't have to just find us online. We are live, real people that will be in Cleveland this fall.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for being here today and talking about this. Like I said, I will be chatting with you here in the future.
Thank you very much. It's been quite enjoyable.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Look up in the sky.
We just want to say, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please check out other podcasts on the Press Play Podcast Network.
If you are like Tyler and James and can't get enough Super Talk, check out these other podcasts: Digging for Kryptonite, Supergirl Radio, The Last Sons of Krypton, The Superboy Legacy Podcast, All-Star Superfans, Superman the Animated Podcast, The Aspiring Kryptonians, Always Hold On to Smallville, The Geek of Steel, and Truth, Justice, and Hope.
Remember to check out Krypton Report on all social media platforms. Go to linktree.com/KryptonReport. You find all of our
part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Chase Smith here from the Chase Smith Podcast and Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast.
And I'm JD, host of the Hyman Podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network. And we are super excited to bring you a brand new show starting next Tuesday, the Fanfare Podcast.
The Fanfare Podcast is all about your favorite movies and our favorite movies and the best moments in cinema. To help guide our discussion, each episode will feature one classic, and we will grade this movie using a report card-like scale A through F. We're going to be grading categories like acting, directing, cinematography, the score, and even the movie poster itself.
And when we're not featuring a movie report card, we'll be sharing our movie rankings, franchise deep dives, actor and director interviews, and everything in between. Movies have been a major part of our lives, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you.
Our premiere episode will drop Tuesday, June 27th, and JD and I will be reviewing Raiders of the Lost Ark in preparation of the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny on June 30th, the fifth installment of the franchise.
Join us on the Fanfare Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Hello, Brooks here with the Books with Brooks monthly book club podcast. Here's how Books with Brooks works. We read one book a month, and then we talk about it. Classics like Stephen King's The Shining, debut novels like We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang, and tons of other compelling, life-changing stories, one book and one month at a time. So come read along with us, and then listen in.
Before we start this episode of Krypton Report, I want to take a moment and just give a shout-out here to our Patreon. I know what you're thinking. Gosh, everyone's asking for money, and I get it. But our Patreon is only $1. $1 a month, it helps us keep the podcast going. And what we do is we try to find interesting shows and topics and whatever we want to talk about. We've done, as of this little thing, our last recordings were on the Scream series. Brian and Tyler, that's me, do our own show where we record in the car, and it's kind of funny. And we talk about pop culture or whatever is going on. We also have the Supernatural podcast we've been reworking. It's taken some time just because of life. But we do movie commentaries as well. It's something that James and I have done, what used to do on the main show, that we've started doing here.
So for $1 a month on our Patreon, you can get those shows. There's at least four a month. Also, there's my movie pitch show that I do. But also, what we want is if you're a Patreon, you can come on. You can come on the main show if you want. Or if there's something you want to come on and talk about, we can do it as a Patreon special. So all I want is for $1 a month, think about chipping in, joining our Patreon, and you have a voice to be a part of things. Follow the link in the link tree or in the show notes below, patreon.com/KryptonReport.
This is Dan Jurgens, and if you want to have a good time, keep listening to the Krypton Report.